Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 253. We found anime on the cutting room floor. This is Electric Sisterhood, home of the best.
The fucking best.
Girl Gaming Tech Gadget and Anime Podcast. I am Ninja Sister.
And I am Pandalicious.
Welcome to an all anime episode of our podcast. A unique episode of our podcast. See, I didn't say special.
I'm glad.
Because I know you hate it when I say it's special.
And there's only one of me this week. Which is nice.
Yeah, yeah. Ha ha. Funny, funny. Okay, whatever. So anyway, we've been doing a lot of video game talk, you know, especially because we saw so much at E3 and we were kind of still digging through all of our video game stuff. And we still have more to get through. But we thought for this week to kick it off right, we should, you know, balance that out with a little bit of anime. And then we said, no, let's balance it out with a lot of bit of anime.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
This is an audio podcast, panelists, so nodding doesn't help here.
Nod, nod. If I vocally acknowledge the nod, it does work.
Yeah, but you didn't do that.
But this anime episode is not only an anime episode. It's an homage to the thing that I love most, and because this is what I think our first podcast in my birth month.
Oh, here we go. Yes, yes, the celebration of Pandalicious's birthday.
Woo!
Begins with the podcast Oh Anime.
So I feel humbled that we grabbed some really interesting pieces that
wait, how is this an homage to anything?
It's an homage to my birth month.
How is anime reviews an homage to your birth
month? Well, it's our show and I'm on the show and it's my birth month. So it's an homage to
how is it like an homage? There's nothing about like, do you have anything in common with any of the animes that we're talking about?
Well.
Okay, you know what? Let's not even go there. Let's not even go there. We've got a bunch of clips that we pulled together. See, it's a clip show. Haha. Of all different types of anime stuff that we've talked about. And we're just going to jump right into it.
What you guys are about to hear are clips that you've never heard here on the Land of Ash. They were trimmed due to time constraints because, frankly, we talk too damn much.
Here's a clip from April, I think it's episode 242, where we talked about a bunch of anime stuff. We talked about Crunchyroll versus Netflix as far as catalog and stuff. We talked about Spice and Wolf, which
is an anime.
A phenomenal anime series. Claymore
also
and bouncing boobs of various sizes in Queen's Blade, which is, I guess, the easiest way to describe it, an experience.
Yes. Yes. It's an experience.
So here's the clip. Now let's get into it. Like I said, we've got anime to talk about this week.
Yeah.
Mostly because Netflix is awesome.
It's because someone sent me a link on Twitter that you'll see that there was an agreement with Funimation and I think another company, which one I can't remember, that are going to start sending over more animes to be instantly ready for streaming on Netflix.
Well, that makes me really happy because, one, I think Crunchyroll needs a competitor. Don't get me wrong, I love Crunchyroll.
But Crunchyroll's different because they got animes that haven't even been brought over here yet.
Right, because they're
so they've got the competitive edge.
Right, but for me, it's good to have more than one provider in an arena because you gotta have somebody that makes you better. Okay, while Crunchyroll has stuff that's airing in Japan right now and they're licensing to rebroadcast and that's what you pay for,
I'm not necessarily saying that you need a competitor to make your catalog better. You need a competitor to make your delivery system better.
Right.
You need a competitor to make you offer more in your service than just streaming. Because let's face it, you can get streaming video anywhere. I mean, if you really, really want to and you want to work at it, you can find all kinds of anime and all kinds of content on YouTube. You got to work for it. You got to sit through it being broken up. But you can find it there. So it's not in just the streaming that we're talking about functionality and why you want a competitor. You know, I want a competitor for Crunchyroll so that they'll do more things. You know, they offer the anime, they offer drama, which is great. Yeah. And you can get it on your iPad and you can get it on your computer or any other iDevice. What I want is for a real competitor for Crunchyroll to get them to work on getting the video out over AirPlay, as opposed to having to connect my iPad to the TV and, you know, just like in the old days when we didn't have remotes, having to walk up to my TV to change to the next episode to change.
That's
the next
what little episode. Sisters are for.
Yeah, but mine's upstairs, so I can never get her to come down and change the videos on my Crunchyroll.
Yeah.
And even if I texted you, you wouldn't answer. You'd say, fuck you. So it doesn't really work out.
Well, for me. You just don't have a really obedient little sister.
Yeah, I know. Oh, well.
Because I'm a woman now.
Right. That's what she
with
said.
With my own mind.
Yeah, okay. So.
And thoughts and feelings.
Yeah, yeah, blah, blah. So that's why I want a competitor for them. And I think that Netflix makes the most sense because they're on the same pieces of hardware. You can get Netflix on your phone. You can get Netflix on your iPad.
Yeah. Netflix on all of them.
You know, I would love for there to be a little bit heavier competitor to maybe make Crunchyroll, like I said, either work out its AirPlay issues so you can do video and audio.
Who's to say that they're not working on that right now?
They could be. They very well could be. But that will make me even happier. And I just want somebody to help make somebody decide they need to be better. I don't like it when companies...
Get complacent?
Get real complacent. You know, if I'm going to pony up money, I'm going to hand it over to you every single month. I want to know that you're not just taking it and, you know, going into your make it rain room, but you're actually taking some of it.
I'm so glad you just incorporated that into
our show. No problem. It's what I do. But I want to know that you're taking some of it to make your service better for me. Okay. And, you know, right now it doesn't always feel like a lot of people who I'm forking over money to on a regular basis are necessarily really thinking about strongly how to make it better for the end user, but are thinking more about how to get more money out of the end user. So I like the idea that Funimation is going to actually make more content available for Netflix, because to be honest with you, right now, even though I pay for Crunchyroll, I probably watch more anime on Netflix. And I watch more on Netflix because I have that ability to go and navigate episodes and things like that easily through my Apple TV. If I had Crunchyroll on my Apple TV or I had the AirPlay thing off of my iPad, you better believe I'd be all up on Crunchyroll, probably 10 times more than Netflix.
Mm, yeah.
So, I'm glad that there's more content. I love seeing it show up.
Oh, and it's a mixture of new things that I haven't seen over here yet and even old things that I remember loving when I first came into the whole anime scene.
Well, that's cool. That's cool. Because I have to say, I definitely have enjoyed seeing that stuff. And as a person who does the stream-only version of Netflix, it's really important because I find that, you know, I start running out of stuff really quickly that I'm actually interested in watching. Although I will say right now, I do have a very interesting instant queue.
Oh, if people saw my instant queue, they'd be like, that makes sense. What the hell is that? That's foreign.
You ready? You want to know what's in my instant queue right now? So I've got The Imaginarium of Dr. Parnassus.
Yep, I have
because
that.
I haven't watched it yet.
Oh my god, you need to watch that.
I know, but it's in my queue. I have Objectified, which is the follow-up documentary to Helvetica. So for all my typography and style design nerds out there, you know what I'm talking about. I feel you.
Wait, isn't the first thing you just said a type... A font?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. There's a whole documentary about
Helvetica. Fonts?
No, about Helvetica. It's just
about
Helvetica.
That one font.
Yes.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Somebody's got some free time.
No. It's huge. It's huge. If you're a designer, you know, that's not your
that's
type
not
of nerd.
Right.
But for those who that is their type of nerd, they already own Helvetica.
Okay.
Okay? All right. So... Then the next 8 things are the full seasons of Red Dwarf. because they have all of Red Dwarf from season 1 to the season 8. And season 9 has actually been confirmed. They got the cast back to do it. So they're going to do another season. So I have seasons 1 through 8. Then I have the good season of Doctor Who that has the good doctor on it.
Okay, and that's the one with the scarf.
Yes. Yes, that's the good doctor. And then I have Blackadder 1 through 4.
No, that has...
Rowan Atkinson.
Right.
Who is also Mr. Bean, which is what most people know him over here as. But I think that Blackadder was a much better, better series with him. Like, I like Mr. Bean, but I love Blackadder. So, and then I have, like, a bunch of anime. So.
Okay.
So I finished Spice and Wolf this week.
Season 1. Season 2 needs to hit the...
Season 2 needs to hurry up. Stream. And hit the Insta stream. I ran through Claymore, which you actually talked about a while ago, and after watching it, I firmly agree, I absolutely loved it. I would definitely say that if you enjoy action...
If you anime, like hot blondes with swords.
Well, yeah, hot blondes with swords, and or...
Blood.
Action anime, yeah, there is a lot of blood. Action anime, but a very, very sad story.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's not just the action, it's not just the blondes, but actually has a really good story, and there's some really interesting emotional moments.
Once again, I like the element where a certain ailment or, you know, disease or chemical or, you know, powder dust or whatever will have a different effect on your gender, which kind of happened in Claymore, as it also happened in Rin.
Yep.
I kind of like that one attribute can change two very different genetic makeups.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, oh shit, who knew that this one thing could have two different, very different effects on a person?
I liked the relationships that happened and the emotional things that happened between some of the Claymores and some of the humans that they came in contact with.
I think it's funny that they're called Claymores, when then I think about those bombs that you can plant. And I'm like, so you're saying that these are ticking time bombs that will and could blow up at it? Yeah.
And they could, as you
and they could, yeah, you know, as you find out if you watch the series.
So I think that there was a lot of play on words there on the name of it. But what I really enjoyed was, you know, how these people who are supposed to be bereft of emotion actually...
Have
a lot of emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And are very emotional. And it's just interpreted in different ways. So, I would say now, after watching Claymore, that it is definitely a buy recommendation from me. Like, if you like anime at all, period, it is just a fantastic, fantastic series to have. Because you can't just say that it's great because it's got hot blondes and swords. Queen's Blade has hot blondes and swords.
Yeah, and actually the story outside of...
The
story outside of the blade...
You can't get to the story outside of the blade.
If you watch it more than three
stuff.
Times, you can.
No, you can't. Because you can't watch it more than twice.
I've watched them all four.
That's because you are a special person. A normal person can't watch a character shoot acid out of her boobs and say, yep, I'm going to watch that again.
I found out that would probably scare, like, young children who are breastfeeding.
Yeah, they'd just be like, Mom, are you trying to kill me?
Yeah.
You know, no, you can't, I will barely make it through one time.
The three that are available for instant streaming right now, that's the first arc, and then the last set of the DVDs, which is the next, I think next three, is the last three. So they're going to wrap it up really fast, which is why it hasn't been released yet.
Well, they need to hurry up and release it, because as soon as I watch those three, I am done with it. I am not going to revisit Queen's Blade
again.
Like, the two big sister, little sister, because the one sister isn't like a full-blood sister, that's the only piece. You know, the thunder goddess.
The thunderclap general.
Yeah. Okay, that's the only piece that has any kind of interesting story piece. Because the rest of it isn't, okay? All right? Having a priestess who barely wears a robe that covers her noonie with a follower that kind of looks like a demon who definitely wants
to
be
No. The priestess wears a full garment. It just falls off really fast. The wind just...
Every time I see her, she does not have her nooners covered. She wants to. She desperately wants to be covered up. No,
and then there's the woodland elf who doesn't cover her nooner at all.
Yeah, she doesn't cover it at all.
It's like, no, I'm
a hippie!
Yeah, but then her general boss lady wears leaves over it. Very elegant.
Yeah, leaves. Elegant. You know, over
her nooner. No bush. Very tasteful. But anyway. But literally, honestly, if you took out the fact that they're all chicks and made them dudes, I actually think it'd be a pretty decent story.
That we're naked?
No, but if they're all different
you
gotta types...
You have to have the same mechanics.
All right.
Ew. Yeah, thank you.
Because things would be bouncing and wobbling around and
things
stuff.
Things are bouncing and wobbling around now in Queen's Blade.
Yeah, but they're boobs, so it's okay.
Oh, bouncing boobs are okay. It's just bouncing balls that are a no-no. Now who's being sexist?
I'm sorry, because we... The reason why I say that is, one, it'd be really distracting in the point that I'd be looking at the bottom
third. You think the bouncing boobs are distracting for some people?
But one, boobs are higher up on the screen. So you would be staring at the bottom half of your screen most of the time because it'd be like, bounce. It'd be like, as opposed to at least where they put the boobs, like, generally in the center of the screen. So you're like, oh, and I see some trees in the background, too. So
you'd just be looking at bouncing balls in the ground?
And dirt, which isn't very appealing, but if there was a shrub nearby, I think that'd be kind of funny.
What if we, you know, had, like, angels in heaven, so you'd be looking down at pillowy clouds while you're looking at their
bouncing
balls?
Pillowy balls! Ooh! I don't think that could ever happen.
Somebody could make that anime series
right
now. I don't
know. Honestly, if you take the boobs and the fan service out, you made them all dudes, I think the anime would have a...
Dude, if you took out bouncing boobs, if you made them just normal boob cups, okay, you took out the powers of, you know, acid out of the nipples, okay, and you took away the fan service, you wouldn't even have to make them guys. You could leave them girls and it would still be a good story. The problem is that the focus...
Is bouncing boobs.
Is the fan service and the bouncing boobs. That's the problem.
Follow the bouncing boobs.
Okay. Yeah. But if you take all of that out, you only have enough to really fill at most 6 episodes.
Well, actually...
At most.
Well, they got 12 with the bouncing boobs.
Yeah.
And the queen with the metal shield.
Because you wouldn't have the...
The metal shield near her vagina.
You wouldn't have the chick with the snakes.
Well, it's one snake. It's one. One snake. One.
Yeah, that she uses as underwear.
Yep.
And, you know, obviously other stuff.
Honey badger would smack the shit out of it.
Honey badger would care. Honey badger would
and it would eat it. It would eat her
that
panties.
That would be so natty. Nasty.
Who ate my panties?
Honey badger. Oh, my God. I can't believe you just saw that video now.
I just saw it.
I can't believe that. It's so... You, who is of the internet.
I know. I don't know how this gem escaped me. But it hasn't,
it hasn't escaped now.
In this clip, I think this was back in episode 203. Wow, that was a while ago. I know that I was getting on you about watching Bleach again.
Yes. Don't ride me because I have a need that can only be filled by Ichigo Kurosaki.
Anyway, there was a big tangent about...
Don't judge me.
I can't help but help it. And this tangent completely proves that, so buckle in.
Anyway, it's the thing that got me off my Bleach kick again, so I'm happy about that.
I'm surprised. How far into Bleach are you?
276.
Oh, boy. You insane, girl.
Because I fall off the wagon, and then I see something, and I jump back on the wagon. Like, I jumped off at around the first batch of Vizard episodes where Ichigo started, you know, being able to become somewhat holified whenever he wanted to be. I was like, okay, all right.
Yeah, but so first see, I lost track of all that because first it was straight up Hollows and Soul Reapers.
Yep.
Then now there's a group that are, like, more Hollow than Reaper. And now there's,
right.
Ones that are more Reaper than Hollow.
Right.
And then there's, you know, his crew of merry mystical misfits.
Mystical misfits!
Like,
yes.
That's Quincy and...
Yeah.
Did they ever even go into what Orihime actually is?
Well, we're not really sure, but she eventually gets taken to Waco Mundo and... Because Aizen, who was good but was bad because...
He decided.
Oh no, he was bad.
Yeah, I know. At some point in time, his ability
was to fake his death. I'm like, you know, if I was able to fake my death all the time, I know people would be like, oh. So every time they see me die, I'm like, oh, she'll come back. I would have assumed that if the whole spirit society knew that that's what his thing was. I'm like, okay, so he's dead. We know he can be dead whenever.
But he'll just rise again. So, yeah, you know, it's like so. Jesus. He has the power of resurrection. So anyway, he captures, in a way.
Right.
Because he's really interested in her ability not to heal, because he's figured out that her ability isn't really in healing. It's in that her power literally allows her to reject a reality.
Really?
Yeah. So he breaks it down in one episode. And it's like, no. What's going on there? And so I think it's like Grimjaw or whatever is explaining, like, she's healing something or other. He's like, no. What she's actually doing, and you can actually hear it in the way that she says, she's like, usually calls a little sprite up, and she's like, I reject blah, 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 blah.
Right. So
she's actually rejecting the reality, and it's bending to her will. So that's why he's really interested in her, and so he sends Ulquiorra to go and kidnap her and take her. So blah, blah, blah. So I had hung around for that, and then when they started going through Ichigo's training yet again so he could master his hollow power, you know, at will, I was like, all right. Okay, you people, you've lost me. So I jumped off the bleach wagon. That's when I jumped into Tears to Tiara, which I absolutely love. I kind of put it in the same group as Utawari Ramono.
Right.
Love that. It's definitely a very similar, you know, it's got some fun moments, but is mostly about the action and the ensemble group. Except it doesn't have the mind fucked at the end like Utawari Ramono has. Anyway, jumped off that bandwagon for a while, and I was doing something on Crunchyroll, and they were just like, oh, we've got a new episode of Bleach. And I was like, well, let's see how far along they are. Kind of like when you stop watching a soap opera, but you're homesick one day, and you're just like, well, let's see what's changed in Oakdale. Not much. You know, like one of those moments, and I got hooked again.
Oh,
so
no.
I picked it back up. I read some manga online to pick myself back up, and then I jumped in at 264, and I've run up to 276, which is current, because 277 is supposed to be airing overseas shortly. And basically, Ichigo is now gone from being able to, you know, just pull his hollow mask out whenever he wants, to going full-on fucking hollow. Like, with a hole in everything.
Really? Horn,
like, big bull fucking horns and, like, radiant freaking red hair out to here. Like, he kills Ulquiorra and makes Ulquiorra have to get into his ultimate shape, which kind of reminds me of, like, Morgan from,
I think I know what you're
Final Fight? No, SNK.
Yeah.
King of Fighters. Because he's got, like, bat wings, and he looks like half Puckian, and he's like green, and he's got like these mad emo insane clown posse type tier black dots coming down his face. Like, he goes ridiculously emo, which, you know, Ulquiorra as a character, like, he wasn't emo to begin with,
right?
But his ultimate form, you're just like, really, like, wow, I'm really in a deep despair right now. Just looking at this anime character hurts my soul. Then Ichigo goes all full-on fucking hollow because Inoue starts crying because it looks like she's going to get hurt. So all of a sudden he, like, pops up after Ulquiorra stabs him through his fucking heart with a sword, mind you, with his own freaking sword. Pulls it out. He turns complete hollow, just starts kicking Ulquiorra's ass. And even Ulquiorra has this look of, like, I think it's the only emotion I've ever seen where his eyes actually opened up all the way because he couldn't stop the Sero
that wow.
Ichigo creates. Like, it is a kind of scary looking character when he goes full on hollow. And he eventually, you know, because he's full on hollow, the Quincy tries to stop him from completely just jamming his sword through Ukiyo's face. So he jams his sword into the Quincy. And you're like, did you just kill... What? What are you doing? I don't even... What? And then anyway, he's like, stop! And so then he stops and de-holifies and Ukior disappears into dust.
Wow. But
not before reaching for Inoue. And he's like... And it wasn't dubbed. And it wasn't subbed. So it was just in the Japanese, which I...
It was a raw.
Yeah. So I was just watching the action. So I really am curious as to what the fuck he said to Inoue.
Probably.
Yeah. I love you. I'm like, oh, emo boy has feelings.
Oh, I... Right before, yeah, but I thought you said he didn't dig her like that. He just digged her ability.
No. Aizen digged her abilities. I think Ukiyora, because he had to end up, like, taking care of her for so long and trying to keep all of Ichigo and his friends away from her, I think he started to dig Inoue.
Oh.
Yeah. Because he reached for her, and eventually towards the end, she started reaching for him, and just as their fingers were going to touch, he turned to dust.
Ooh.
So now I really want to know. So I'm waiting. If anybody has any leads on a subbed version of 276, I really need to get a hold of that, because that was pretty fucking sweet. This clip is actually from episode 219, where we talked about Triple X Holics. Actually, Pandalicious talked about Triple X Holics. I just listened, but it was pretty much this like 20-minute piece of the episode that we cut out, where Pandalicious was just literally nonstop talking about Triple X Holics. So have a listen.
And but anyway, with Hinamori, she has this weird ability which they've shown in a couple of episodes. Anything that's got a seal on it, she can unlock. Okay. Like there's an episode where this student teacher finds a monkey's paw. So like you think of all those general, you know, urban legends, the monkey claw story.
Yep, yep.
You know,
you can make all these wishes, but then once the monkey claw opens, it will repackage just rewards.
You know, and Yuka had
it like that. I'm gonna complain.
But that's kind of what, you know, it was like. And this woman, Yuka was having, you know, the main character clean out her thing, and there was this case, and this woman came over and saw it, and she was like, I feel like there's something really, you know, here, and can I have it? You know, and you know, Yuka's like, you know, just be aware that, you know, there's a lock on that. You're not going to be open. And she's like, no, that's fine, that's fine. And the student teacher was working at their school, and Hinamori was walking by and bumped her by accident, and this teacher dropped it, and when she went to go pick it up, the ribbon came undone. So the seal opened. So, like I said, they don't really branch it with Hinamori, but there's obviously some magical entity between these three, so the fact that they are fated to be around each other makes them a perfect... weird, sci-fi, mystical, solving group, sort of. Because they could go... So think CSI, mystical, spiritual...
They're like NCIS. Detective NCIS with, like...
Mystical stuff.
Mystical stuff.
Yeah, more or less. And okay. And I think Yuka, you know, kind of pictures, you know, figures this out way early. You know, and I think she, for the most part, is trying to get, you know, Wanta Yuki, Watanabe to pretty much just accept his ability and use it for something as opposed to trying to repress it and, you know, change it completely.
Okay.
And in the beginning, he was very against everything, and you slowly see him warming up to, you know, Domaki and thanking him because, I mean, with him around, you know, they were able to do a lot of things because the spirits wouldn't bother him. You know, and he's, I think Domaki lives in a shrine, so I think that's where his pure energy...
So you have a seer, a guardian, and an...
Unlocker.
More or less. An opener.
Yeah. A seal breaker.
Okay.
I don't know what they would... There's got to be a word for that, but I don't know what that is. There has to
be, but I don't...
But yeah, and she's not even aware of it. Like, she's seriously not aware of it at all. You know, and a couple times I'm like, okay, you know, this door wouldn't open for anybody, and you walked by it and went to go put your hand on it, and it opened. And she's like, well, that's weird. It's like,
you're dumb.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, you didn't even have your hand on the knob, and it opened for you. I'm like, yeah, you've got a mystical power, and that's fine. One of the really cute, adorable things, 'cause I'll wrap it up with that, is more or less there are there's Mokuna. I don't know if you've seen in my room, but I have this black plushie that has this blue jewel on its head. It's black with this big smile on its face.
I don't go in your room. I don't know what's going on in the land of Panda.
Okay, well, anyway, there is a plushie, and it's black with okay. a big blue gem on its head.
Okay.
And this big smile on its face.
Okay.
And it's called a Mokuna. You actually, if you know anything about anime and have been into it as long as I have, you've probably read a manga called Ray Earth, which is also done by Clamp. And in that, there's a white Mokuna. Because Clamp has this thing about crossovers. They like to cross over animes. Characters go into a different... And they all
Do they cross-dress while they're crossing over?
There are a couple of cross-dressers, but no one
And do they come to cross purposes? Because then it would be XXX. Huh? Huh? You like it? No?
Yeah, I don't... Maybe. But Clamp does have this thing about crossing over characters.
Okay.
Like in Tsubasa Chronicles, the anime...
Mm-hmm.
You actually see Sakura and Sauron in their forms. Because remember, Tsubasa Chronicles has the characters from from Cardcaptor Sakura, but they're in a totally different universe. They're totally different characters, which is weird. Like, yeah. We'll go into that.
Okay.
But anyway.
Remember, I just reset it because it blew up.
Yes.
So you got to go slow.
Okay. So the two main characters from Cardcaptor Sakura are in Tsubasa Chronicles.
What? So yeah. You're gonna hurt my brain again.
I know, but
it's gonna hurt.
I have to make the point. So these two main characters from this totally different anime are now the main characters of a totally different anime from the anime they were in. And in their anime, there's an episode where they come into Yuka's shop.
What? So, I can't.
From Nexholics.
No, I can't do it. I can't do it. It hurts. It hurts, Panda. Well, it hurts.
I'm sorry, Ninja. But you guys out there, if you guys have watched it, then you'd know. So these two characters end up into Yuka's shop.
It's like wormholes in Star Trek. It really hurts.
I'm sorry. But okay. I have to get it out.
All right.
But they do. They appear in Yuka's shop because Sauron, the boy, has a wish. Because the Sakura of this world, her life and her memories have all turned into... feathers and have been scattered across the universes, and he's trying to collect them to regroup her soul and her love for him, because they were kind of in love.
Okay.
And yeah, and when they finally get to Yuka's
shop, I think I saw that.
You might.
Yeah, because there was like a feather in this big kid's
and they're in people thing. Or things. Yes. And Sauron and Sakura are traveling.
Wait, that was Sakura from Cardcaptor
Sakura.
And oh no, that's yeah. not no.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No.
No, it's true.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you fucking with Christmas?
No.
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 You sure?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
Oh.
Anyway, yeah, but they show up. Let me get this out. So they show up at Yuka's shop in Tsubasa Chronicles.
No, you're hurting me.
In Tsubasa Chronicles, they travel to Yuka's shop in Nexholics. There's a crossover, and they're linked because they have a white Mokuna, and the opposite of a white Mokuna is the black Mokuna. So they are joined by the Mokunas, and the Mokunas in Ray Earth are actually gods, but that's a totally different thing.
You're doing it again.
Anyway, I was expecting from Nexholics to see an episode reflect them coming to the shop, because they do in Tsubasa Chronicles, they do in the mangas, but they didn't. I don't know if they're going to do that in the second arc, maybe.
Okay.
But I was expecting to see that, because I already knew from two animes and two mangas before that this was going to happen. And I was expecting it to happen way before now. But, I mean, very enriched story. All the vignettes always had a point. Like, there was one mother who was obsessed with internet, and she wanted to get rid of it. You know, and she has
her obsession or the internet?
Her obsession with the internet, because she had a young son. She spent like 2 days where she didn't feed her son. Her husband was pretty much ready to leave her because she just couldn't detach herself the minute she sat down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Yuka showed up at her house and she said, if that's really what you want to do, don't ever touch it again. Ever. And she leaves the house. And they go down to this cafe across the street. And, you know, once and always kind of like, why are we here? She goes, well, now we wait.
And this woman backed out, and she's like, well, I have to tell all my internet friends that I'm quitting now. And she goes up there, and she sends an email, and then all of a sudden, she gets sucked right back in. And Yuka shows up with this big red bat and pretty much slices this computer in half, because remember, she's mystical, and she can make bats turn into samurai swords, sort of.
Yeah, I mean, I do that all the time.
But I mean, you know, and each of them kind of have this other mystical entity in them.
Why didn't she just bust up the computer the first time if that's what she was going to do?
Because... like I said, Yuka always demands a payment.
Right.
So for her to have done that, because, I mean, when she came in asking for payment, there was this red chair in this woman's house. And she's like, for my services, I want that chair. And she's like, okay. She's like, so don't ever touch that again. Wanted to see what power this woman had in her.
Mm-hmm.
Because she didn't take the chair until after the service was rendered. So once she destroyed the laptop and made it physically impossible for this lady to use that computer ever again, she took the chair. You know, and Watanabe brought it up in the episode. It's just, you know, kind of like, well, why, you know, why didn't you just do this from the start? And, you know, and she's just like, for me to do what you wanted me to do the quick and easy way, I would have had to take more than this chair. So she doesn't want to rob people or exploit people. That's but the payment deep. But the payment has to reflect the level of service. It does. There was this really great episode with twins, these twin girls, and one very bubbly, very outgoing, very charismatic, you know, and she has this thing for Domaki. She meets Domaki and she really likes him. And there's this really shy twin who's a little bit older, very quiet, you know, and she just is very downtrodden.
And you mean older by, like, minutes?
Yes, by minutes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And she's just, she's quiet, she's down, you know, and she loses this contact, and she bumps into Watanabe, Watanuki, whichever name it is, I can't remember.
Wantahui.
Yeah, exactly. And she's looking for this contact, and he's like, oh, well, I'll help you. You know, and as they're looking, she's kind of talking to herself, and she's just kind of like, well, we'll never find it. And they don't. And you find out in this episode, it was actually like a twofer, one of those episodes that was like half through.
Mm-hmm.
And you find out that the twin who was downtrodden was being confined by words. Not only her words that she spoke, but words from her sister, because their bond was that strong. So I could sit there and say to you, Ninja, you'll never be good at anything. You should never do anything. And words have power, and you can't undo them once they've been said. So there's a power in words, especially in this episode. So, you know, this downtrodden twin who's just like, you know, I'm not nearly as popular or successful as my sister, and there's no point in me really trying because I'm just going to fuck things up. And she always would, and whatever she said would come true for her. And she couldn't figure it out, and Watanuki, Wantahui, whoever,
mm-hmm.
pretty much said, don't say things like that. He's like, say things will go well. And all of a sudden, things started going really well for her. And she got this job, she was more outgoing, you know, and her sister showed up on her day off talking to Domaki and was just like, you know, I told my sister that there was really no point for her getting a job because she's very finicky, she's very shaky, she'll break things. And as she's saying them, like, there's this reverberation of every time they say something like that, there was, like, this wave in the air, you know. And as she's saying it, you know, her sister's waiting on people and her hands start to shake and she starts breaking things. So, you know, she's like... you know, and Wantahui figures this out, and he's like, you shouldn't say things like that. She doesn't know until she tries. You should not embed that into her mind, because words have power. You know, and the downtrodden twin was like, you know, she's like, I want to change. There is nothing in the world more than I want than to change. You know, and Yuka said, and told this girl what her payment was, because they both had really, really long hair, they looked exactly alike, and her payment was to cut off her hair. And as soon as she did that, no, she wasn't completely great at everything. She still had some scratches on her arms from cooking and stuff, but not nearly as bad as when the words were affecting her, you know, and all she had to do was give up her hair. So, I mean, like I said, the payments always equal the amount of the service.
That's kind of deep. Like, it sounds cool.
It's really cool. You know, and the manga goes into a lot more than that. Like, you know, they go through a lot of folklore also.
Okay.
Japanese folklore. Urban legends back there in Japan also. Like, there's one of the last episodes was called Nail Clipper.
Okay.
And there were all these things, you know, how you don't clip your nails at night because you won't see or you won't be present for your parents' death. And stuff like that. Like, all these things. Jesus. All these superstitions. The power of superstitions.
Okay.
And how apparently superstitions were really
warnings of things, you know, that were passed down from generation to generation and apparently in some way hold some type of truth, you know, and Watanuki couldn't figure out what the deal was. Watanabe, Watahui.
Watahui!
You know, and this night comes up, and, you know, Yuka's like, I think you should stay here at the shop. And he's never stayed over, so this is the first time that happens. And he's in his room, and he's like, man, my toenails are really long. And there was a clipper in the room, conveniently placed, I think, personally.
Mm.
You know, and he's sitting there, and he's clipping. And as he, you know, and he's facing this wall, and he's clipping. He's not thinking anything of it, because he doesn't believe in superstitions. And as he's doing it, this dark void is filling the room. But he doesn't see it, because he's not looking. And all of a sudden, it gets really, really close. And he's like, he feels this chill, and he looks behind him, and there's these two, like, metal pinchers, like a pinching bug's pinchers,
mm-hmm.
from this darkness, and it was trying to chop off his head. You know, and as it's about to, Yuka throws one of her yukatas on him, and is like, lay down! And she throws this very spiritual flower at this thing, and it goes away. And she's like, well, and he's like, so that's why? She goes, believe it or not. She's like, that's why they say that. Because when you clip your nails at night, you attract certain entities.
Okay.
Yeah. So, like, well, I don't know if that's exactly true, because I clipped my toenails at night and never had my head lopped off.
That's but, really good for the best.
But in the point of the episode about superstitions, you know, some of them sound really, really silly. But some of them might have some type of mystical value, especially in this universe. So, you know, and the reason why Watanuki didn't really believe in superstitions is because, you know, some young kid when he was young told him that if your thumbs were visible when a hearse went by or you walked by a graveyard, you know, something about your parents dying. You know, and he, as a young boy, had clipped his toenails at night one night. And it was right before his parents died, and they were in a car accident. So he was like, well, no matter what I did, he was very superstitious, you know, always hit his thumbs. He did everything that the superstition said you should do to not have things happen, and his parents still died. So he was like, I don't believe in superstitions because my parents still died anyway. Fact, parents die, but, you know, that's totally realist of me to say.
But, yeah, and kind of blunt.
Yeah, that too. But, I mean, regardless, a lot of these episodes were really insightful and deep. And, I mean, there's still color, you know, splashes of humor, and it's still beautifully drawn. Clamp has always done an amazing job with their, right. their visual.
Yeah.
So I'm not too surprised by that. Opening theme song was really good. Like, I really liked it. I had to get it, and now I play it in Statham. I know Statham doesn't like it too much, but he just has to fucking deal because it's that cool. in terms of buying, renting...
Wouldn't suck as a gift?
If you're an anime lover, then this is a buy.
Okay.
And, you know, and usually for vignette-style animes, I'm not usually too keen on them. Remember Hellgirl?
Yeah.
I mean, still very enriched, and I liked it personally, but a lot of people get a little lost in vignettes because the plot is so not present.
Yeah, see, Hellgirl Tuzno is not a vignette. It's just straight on, like,
bleep. Yeah, well, the first one, there's a lot of vignettes with all the people who are making contracts and stuff. So, I mean, if you're not, if you really want to see a beginning, middle, and end, a vignette-style anime is not for you.
Right.
Now, even though this has a vignette in it, it's still very engaging and enriched. So, I mean, I wasn't like, all right, well, what's going on? I mean, each personal story was really good. So it's like, okay,
that's cool.
Wow,
yes. Because that doesn't typically happen with vignette.
No, it really doesn't. And the more, like, the first few vignettes are really kind of weak in terms of the story. You know, like, this one girl, which they don't even go into, had come in, and she was having pains with her pinky finger. You know, and Yuka was like, well, we have to discuss your bad habit first. And the girl's like, I don't have a bad habit. You know, and she's like, you don't? And she's like, no. And she's like, well, then I'm just going to give you this ring, and this might help for a while, but it's only a Band-Aid. It's not a remedy. But they never go into what the deal is with that. You know, and I think hopefully if they do a second arc, they'll go back to that. Because in the manga, they go into why she's got this pain in her pinky.
Is she putting it up somebody's poop hole?
No, no. You know that whole, the idea in the Japanese folklore of the red string of fate?
Mm-hmm.
And how everybody is linked to their soulmate by this red string?
Mm-hmm.
She's manipulating the string.
Oh.
Like, there's another girl who's having the same kind of issue in a later episode, and it's because she's got all these boyfriends, and she ties them all in with pinky promises. Like, oh, we're binded by the... And she had all these strings. Because mm-hmm. she was creating them through these bonds with these men. You know, and she has a different persona for each of them. I think there were, like, four of them. So she did these four different strings tugging at her pinky. Which was causing the pain.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff like that. There was even an episode about photos. Like, this woman has this photo of this girl. And she wants Yuka to get rid of it. You know, and it's just a picture of this girl and her back's in the, you know, the pictures of her head and her back. So it's not like there's a scary face or something on it, which I was expecting it to, like, turn around and be like, demon! And it wasn't. It was just a girl. And the picture begins to move, you know, because when you take a picture, it captures that memory mm-hmm. of the picture. Right. At least in this universe.
Okay.
So later on in the picture, because it does begin to move at Yuka's place and they're watching it, this girl turns around and she's beautiful and she's, you know, looking like she's about to talk to somebody, and it's the woman who brought the picture in. And you see them kind of standing on this cliffish area, and they're talking, and you see the woman who brought the picture push this girl off this cliff and kill her. Yeah,
killed her. That's some fucked up shit.
Killed her. You know, and this woman wants Yuka to make the memory go away by dissolving the picture, because the picture has all this essence, because it's exposing their truth and stuff like that. You know, and at first Yuka's like, well, I need you to fully tell me what you want me to do, because I can make this go away. She's like, but you're, you know, and this woman's like, I will do anything for you to, you know, don't ever say anything. Don't ever say you will do anything for any.
No,
for,
never. For, never. Never. Because then you wind up and this, an angel and you're and, just like, what?
And this, well, not in I'm this sorry. Case. I'm sorry. But in this particular episode.
Don't do anal. Sorry, go ahead.
In this episode, she's pleading for Yuka. She's like, she's like, I'll pay any price. So she dissolves the picture, you know, and her payment, this woman's payment was that she could never be photographed again on camcorders, in pictures, nothing, because this other woman's image would then appear with her if she showed up on TV, cameras at malls, anything that captured her image would then show this woman's image and everyone would see what she had done.
Yeah. Oh, that's some deep shit.
Yeah. So, you know, and Wantayuki is kind of just like, you know, you let her off easy. Oh, they'll just see her image. She's like, no. She's like, they'll see. He's like, you know, she possibly murdered someone. She goes, yes. She's like, and the only way that she could possibly not ever be seen again would be to either A, die, or B, never go anywhere ever again. But pretty much this price was kind of half-weighted because there's no way that this woman would ever never be seen. She could be in the background of somebody else's picture.
Right.
So there's no way that she would ever be able to fully monitor what saw her.
Yep.
Or what captured
unless
her form.
Unless she never went out in public again.
Again. So she was confined within her own free... She was free of the memory, but confined by her payment. In this clip, a little further on, I think we were in episode 212 then... we had Xenocor on the show.
Xeno!
Who was just recently on our last show.
Yes. See how that looms together? See, we're bringing it all full circle.
But he had actually brought us an anime called Hero Man that neither of us had heard about.
Nope.
So
surprise!
So it was a palate cleanser of our anime, you know, knowledge.
Why are you talking about cleansing their palate? Are you still hungry?
Yeah. But anyway, take a listen to Xeno and... Listen in.
Have you guys talked about the Hero Man anime yet?
No.
Has anybody?
I don't know if anybody's talked about it.
Not that anyone
not
that I know.
Not in the land of Ash.
Wow, because Hero Man is most excellent. Want me to share?
Go ahead.
Yes.
I mean, okay. You can't just be like, have you heard about this anime? It's awesome.
No, I told you guys about it before. Cancer?
Nope, I won't tell you.
I have prophesized about this anime before, so I'm checking because it got epic.
Did the shit get real?
It gets real, but on multiple levels. You know, they got real at this level, and then they went to level two and it got real there.
And then the hair turned yellow, and then it got really long, and then there were tails, and then there's aliens, and then
there's purple fur.
And then there was purple fur, and then I was like, wait a minute. Purple fur Are they chinchillas?
I look good in chinchilla.
Yes. The main reason I want to highlight this game or this anime is because this one is being created by Stan Lee. Yeah, what? An anime created by Stan Lee.
Wait,
can he draw? Really
good.
Wait. I'm gonna have to call timeout.
Uh huh.
Okay, because you got to back up because I think you're a little bit confused. You said that Stan Lee's created an anime.
Yes.
Not an animated something, but an anime, which yes. would imply like Japanese influenced style of animation from Stan, true believer Lee,
and possibly uh-huh. anime and Japanese storytelling, because the storytelling in anime is usually Japanese storytelling,
but from Stan Lee,
mm-hmm.
who is not
wait Excelsior Japanese. Stan Lee. Uh-huh. I just want to make sure that we're talking about the same person because it mm-hmm. doesn't it does not compute.
Yeah, you know he's involved because he does cameos in the show.
Oh my god.
Yep.
What? He got himself drawn in.
Yeah, he's drawn in.
Oh wow. That's yep. Stan Lee. All right.
You know how the fan fiction that is?
No, this is not fan fiction. This is complete reality.
Okay.
All right,
convince me.
Alrighty. Hero Man is a manga and anime produced by Bones and created by Stan Lee. It's already been showing over in Japan since April 1st. And I'm quite tickled pink about this one. This is the first anime I can follow and see multiple stories happening, sort of like the way they do storytelling over here in America, but with Japanese styling and everything on the characters. Of course, they're dealing with events happening in America. You know, they're from the West Coast over in California. When aliens attack, you know, that type of thing. So
uh-huh.
at the core of this is a pet robot show. Okay. But not like, you know, Pokemon or anything else like that. Nope, he just has one big one that he's named Hero Man. Right. It originally starts as a small robotic toy that a friend from school throws away because it gets run over in traffic. And, you know, our hero, let me pull up his name here, Joseph Carter Jones, also known as Joey.
You know, Joey.
Sees this as a chance to, it's like, you know, he can never own this bot that costs like $3,000 because he's, you know, his family's poor, his mom and pop aren't around anymore. So he decides to fix it. And he decides to name it Hero Man, you know, because he's a little kid, you know, mm-hmm. getting ready to go to high school. Then mysteriously during the night, you also see an alien spacecraft hovering over the Earth, and they decide to land somewhere. But when they enter the Earth's atmosphere, some electrical energy shoots off of their ship and strikes the boy's toy.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, just mysteriously during the night. You know, right. You know, no big deal.
That's when aliens typically sneak in is during the night. They go rustle up some cows, do some anal probing, go down to Cabo.
Cow tipping.
Mm-hmm. The next day, as Joey's going to school, he meets up with his homie, Cy, who used to be a running back for the school football team but is now injured. So, of course, he has to hang out with the normal kids because he's no longer a jock.
Right.
Yeah.
No longer special.
He's been de-jocked.
Yep. So he's got a, you know, two crutches and his little two-wheeled skateboard thing that he gets around on because his leg is busted and he can't run.
Sorry.
Yep. And they have to hang out with the professor that's on the
is school. He here?
No, Professor Denton is his name.
Oh.
Yeah. But, you know, if you got a professor and two kids that hang around them, you know they're just – that's a superhero team waiting to happen.
Yep.
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 It's someone who can build stuff. Yep.
Yeah, and of they're course, Joey gets picked on by school because, you know, he's a little bit of a nerd, you know. And, of course, it's by the jock. But
he's not the jock, one who's now injured yeah. jock?
No, this is jock. No, this is the quarterback of the team.
Oh. You know,
one that's not injured. Yeah.
That's it.
So he picks on little Joey and Sai's like, you know, hey, cut it out, you know, because, you know, they used to be on the same team. So, you know, he can smooth things over a little bit. And, of course, that's when he sees Lena. Lena is the jock's sister. She's also one of the cheerleaders on the team.
Of course she is.
Is she purdy?
Oh, she's purdy and blonde and big thin group? And boisterous and all this other stuff. You know, no,
Pam
she's
Anderson?
No. Let's say she's more proportioned for athleticism than anything else. She's not going to trip over her own stuff. Thankfully.
Oh.
Okay. Yeah. So there's healthy proportions in this one. Meanwhile, all this stuff happens at school. They introduce like most of the normal secondary characters, you know, the teacher, the, like three or four friends that don't really touch into the story again because they're mainly just arc one. Mm-hmm. But right around lunchtime, the aliens decide to actually land and take root in the middle of the town. And of course, law enforcement and the National Guard don't have any weapons that can stop them.
They're helpless. They're only a hero.
And of course, they all look like bugs because, you know, bugs are bad. So,
yeah.
So, but for some reason, during the night, during after this attack and everybody splits up, I'm blanking out on names here. One second. Let me go back up to the stuff. Lena and her father are traveling home late at night. And some stuff happens to Lena. They're in an accident. The robot senses this because, you know, since
he's now aware, since
the robot is aware of his feelings and senses something wrong, so he decides to self-activate. And he points to the boy, picks him up, and charges off like a big hero would. Think of the Incredible Hulk type size.
Okay.
You know, about a foot tall to Incredible Hulk. Yeah. Yeah, it's a very nice transformation. And of course, he's got this big, long sneer that's always on his face. He shows no emotion. He always looks like he's about to slam something with his fist.
Okay.
Even when he's not.
Because he's going to smash. Hero Man.
Yeah, Hero Man smash. Yep. He runs over and signs the accident and manages to break in and save the young girl. And that's how everything starts off with this kid realizing that he's got a pet robot that can literally do just about anything he wants. And that's the way this story starts with the first episode. To sum things up, and not to give away too much, on top of the alien invasion, you also realize that the controller that the boy has for the robot also gives him abilities. He learns that later on. There's a little, sort of a whole leveling thing that goes through this.
So that there's going to be a Hero Man game then?
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if one got developed because of the way they push forward him gaining abilities through practicing and doing this, that, and the other thing. You know, not to mention some of these fights got quite epic, especially when they finally get down to the Scrug leader, which is in like episode 11 or 12. So I figured it was just going to have a 26 episode run.
Uh-huh.
But then they went into a whole new story arc and like episode 14 or 15.
Because there's not always one villain to one superhero. There's usually like 15 villains to one superhero.
Well, it feels more like a comic book, the way they're doing.
Ooh, okay. Yeah,
well, Sam Lee's involved.
How could it not?
Most of the anime I see that have this type of hero setting, there's usually one big bad. He's linked to everybody. This one, these big bads are completely unrelated to some extent. I mean, they all share the same alien technology thing. One is the aliens actually attacking. The other one is this stuff's just running wild. The other one is this person just picked it up and starts doing stuff. It's like he's building a pantheon that all this stuff is going to happen in. So this could go as long as Naruto or some of the others, depending on how well it does.
Oh, please don't let anything go as long as Naruto.
If it goes as long as Naruto, please let the filler be decent or be better than Naruto.
You can't talk about Naruto like that. You got One Piece as an example for things that go on forever.
I can't stand One Piece.
One Piece is the man.
One Piece makes me throw up a little in my mouth.
Really?
Really.
I like One Piece.
I can't get through the theme song before I'm gagging. Yeah. I could at least get through almost every Naruto opening. But the One Piece one, I was like... Yeah.
The other thing I noticed is the characters themselves at least have a bit of sense in the way they operate. It's not like if Lena was in love with somebody and that's the only thing she cares about at all. You know, she has other motivations. It's like the professor when they're fighting the aliens isn't like the mad doc. He's actually becomes a tactician and keeps his mouth shut and is very quiet. And, you know, you do this and this and we'll do this. And, you know, it's like, holy crap, this is some realism in their thought process. I like it. You know.
So do you think that that's a blending of having, you know, a Western storyteller in Stan Lee combining with an Eastern storyteller team?
Exactly what I'm trying to say. With Stan Lee helping to guide the project, I think the flow of the characters is a little bit more realistic. And because, you know, in Japan, at least with gaming, it's more like the crowd loves this, so let's do it again. So mm-hmm. things don't really progress as quickly as they may say over in the East or the West. And they've been saying that for a couple of years now. This is an example of somebody coming from the West and helping out the East develop new stories and new ways of telling them. And I'm loving this anime. I watch it religiously.
Well, I will check it out.
Mm-hmm. Because it sounds good. Maybe I'll find it on Netflix.
No.
Well, it's still being produced for Japanese TV. However, the moment that
stuff Crunchyroll it is.
The moment that stuff comes out on DVD, this is a type of anime that I would buy.
Excellent. Ooh, that's high praise. So I will definitely check it out. This clip is actually from episode 240, which was in March, and Pandalicious was talking about zombies in anime. Not the zombie apocalypse, which
will happen.
It doesn't happen. It's not going to happen. Zombies aren't real. But zombies in anime do exist. So check it out.
And I saw some other ones that I didn't look at the titles, but they looked brand new. A lot of them seem to be zombie-esque.
Well, you know, here's the thing. You know how I feel about zombies?
Yeah, but
I don't
zombie
have a problem with zombie anime.
No.
I mean, like, Koryuan Zombie Desuka. Like, yeah. I love it.
Like, I'm actually seriously hoping that, in terms of zombie anime, that they'll freaking just bring High School of the Dead on Netflix. Because I actually think you would... All right, so think apocalyptic society in Japan. Almost everybody's...
Apocalyptic or post-apocalyptic?
Post.
Okay.
So it's after... After people have been infected by this zombie pandemic, there's only six people.
Is the Umbrella Corp behind it? Because sometimes usually they are.
I don't, believe it or not, I've only seen one or two episodes.
Okay.
And there's like six people that you know of that are not infected.
Six people in the entire world?
In Japan.
Okay, six people in Japan.
And they are high schoolers.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right, so that's
so, like,
great.
Literally, people are being infected. Like, at one point, the whole, like, high school is perfectly fine, and someone comes in infected and starts infecting the entire school. So, like, all of a sudden, hordes of high school zombies are attacking other high schoolers. Like, these two girls are running up these
school
stairs.
School spirit, take it to the extreme.
Oh, man, you better believe it. But no, like, in one of the little trailers, you see these two friends, and they're running up the stairs, and the weaker one, obviously, trips. And she has her hand out, and she's screaming because, like, the zombies are coming.
There's always one who can't run.
And she's screaming up to her friend to, like, help her, and her friend kicks her into them. Yeah.
Not much of a friend.
No, because...
Totally not getting invited to the Sweet 16 party.
I think they're already past 16, so...
Well...
But regardless, so, I mean, it's really every man for themselves in it. And I really liked the art style. They really kind of brought that classic horror into this anime series, which I think is really fresh for anime itself, because I don't think you get a lot of directors and DPs who are really good at highlighting that in a series.
I think I would agree with you. I think they're much better at thriller than necessarily straight horror in a lot of the anime that becomes mainstream, because that's typically the only thing that I really get a lot of exposure to. But from the ones that I have seen, because horror is typically the only... Animated horror, I should say, is typically the only horror I can really stomach.
Well, that's because, one, it's not real.
Well, one, it's not real, or it doesn't have that same sense of realism, because that's
Well, I mean, it's not live
real,
action,
real.
So it's not people, it's like, all right, put on this prosthetic inside of your outside.
But I also find it more entertaining, because there's a little bit more art, I find, to it, and I don't know if it's just because of the nature of the animation
itself.
There's
more things you can do in an animation world than you can do...
Right.
I mean, granted, that line is slowly becoming more and more slanted, because we're, you know... Animation technology, computer animation is, you know, soaring to new heights every day. So, I mean, we're getting closer and closer to that place where, oh my god, things in an animated capacity could possibly manifest themselves in a tangible live action form.
Right.
So, I mean,
Avatar, you know, kind of
is the forefront
of that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I find that I can not only stomach and tolerate it more in an animated form than in a live action form, but I also find that typically, for me, there's a little bit more story, there's a little bit more plot behind it, in an animated thing than your typical like slasher flick. Like that's what we get as horror here is slasher flick, which really there isn't anything new that's ever been presented to me in a really slasher flick.
You can't really reinvent the wheel.
You can't.
Adam Green and Hatchet.
Yeah, but Hatchet is the exception that proves the rule.
You got
things like Hatchet, which I think just are really a genre of their own, like Human Centipede. Like that's
it's its own beast.
It's not a slasher flick.
It's its own beast.
It's its own beast. Hatchet is its own beast. You know, the things that Rob Zombie is doing are their own category. They're not your typical slasher fix. I'm talking about slasher because that's typically when you know people in the Western world think horror.
Yeah, they do think that.
They think slasher flick that everyone will traditionally point to Halloween or Nightmare on Elm Street or you know the Jason movies, and those are all slasher flicks. Okay, then you have this other genre which is more of the suspense horror.
Yeah.
Type thing.
And then you got the psycho horror.
And then you've got your
paranormal activity. Let's just freak you out with shit.
Okay, Gothica wasn't a slasher flick.
No, but that scared the fuck out of me the first time I watched it.
But it's more of that thriller horror psycho space. You know, and I find that for me, I can deal with that space. Slasher just doesn't interest me at all. Because been there, done that, got the t-shirt and the hat and, you know, the lighter and all that kind of stuff.
I think you could, in terms of slasher, what I think for some people it really, really appeals is, I mean, in a slasher where, you know, you've got your antagonist who you don't know why they're killing people. You don't know they're just out for blood. They're this pure entity of evil. And they always try to put them in the most mundane area so that theoretically it could happen anywhere. We could have someone who just wants to slice people up halfway down our block. It could be the person next door for all you know.
I mean, like, you know, Scream. Jason movies.
And Scream.
Yeah. You know,
you could be sitting there eating popcorn one day and get a phone call. I'm going to cut you like a fish. Holy shit, dude. And my number's unlisted. What the fuck? You know, like, I mean, anyone can project that error in their own reality because they always set it up in a mundane small town, or, you know, you never see a lot of slashers in, like, a big city. There's too many people. I mean, there's so many elements that have to
American
be present.
Psycho.
Yes, but there was a lot of mental in that, because you didn't know in that movie if that was all in his head, or if that was really happening in his reality.
Yeah, yeah. And
they left that to
And that one kind of, you know, straddled the line really nicely between straight-up gory slasher and the suspense thriller piece. You know, so I think you can make a case for both, but I definitely find that I can enjoy it and I can get more interested in it, and honestly, on the animated side of it than the live action. And so I find that I tend to gravitate in anime now more towards darker, suspenseful cutie, sweetie.
There you have it. Are all anime taken from the cutting room floor, the stuff that we didn't get to include before that you now have for your oral pleasure. And by that, I mean oral as in hearing.
I'm about to say,
not
wait
as
a minute.
In oral as in, you know, the other thing.
Because I'm like, these aren't pills that they eat.
Yeah, no, oral for the
Wouldn't
ears.
Wouldn't it be
not
audio for the ear? Because oral is...
A-U...
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Oral. The AU1. Not the OR one.
Well, sorry. No. This
in
is an audio
ears,
podcast. They would not know that.
In your ears, not in your mouth. You have such a dirty mind. Anyway, that's the episode. If you want more kooky, weirdness, tangenty type things and just our random thoughts on stuff, which are pretty random, but also pretty informative and fun.
I would concur that mine are very random.
Yes, when you put them up there. Make sure that you check out our website, www.electricsisterhood.com, or you can use our short address, which is...
ESH.co, that is ESH.co. The short address will bounce into the long one. You can check out the articles that are written within the week,
Any questions or comments, go to mailbag@landavesh.com. We are available on iTunes for free. Subscribe and leave a review.
That's right. We love seeing what you guys think of what it is that we actually do with our podcast and on our website. So to subscribe to our podcast, simply go to the iTunes application and hit up the music store. Search for Electric Sisterhood and click that beautiful little subscribe button to make sure that you get our episodes the moment that we put them out on the interweb, again, for your oral enjoyment.
Got it.
And if you don't want to use the iTunes, because there are some people that don't abide by La Vida I, you can also find our podcast in the Zune Marketplace. Again, hitting up the Marketplace and searching for Electric Sisterhood and subscribe there as well. And if neither of those float your boat, we got another solution for you too. You can always
plug us into any RSS reader or any podcast search engine. But if you're already looking for us, you should look for the other shows that fly underneath our banner.
That's right, because we're not the only thing that makes up the Land of Esh. So while we put out brand new episodes of our podcast on Monday, on Tuesday, King Baby Duck and the Lovable Bastards over at BostonBastardBrigade.com put out brand new episodes of their podcast, followed on Wednesday by our boy Deuces Wild and a new episode of the Geek Aggro podcast. So right there, we feed your nerd and get all your video game, gaming goodies, peripherals, comics, entertainment stuff covered. But if that's not enough, if the podcasts are not enough, well, there's all the things that we write on all of our respective websites. Conveniently, you can find them all at landofesh.com, which also includes the ability to check out our magazine, which I highly recommend. The latest issue is on sale by visiting landofesh.com. You can check it out. It's called All the Rage. I highly recommend that you purchase it, and not just because we made it.
It's also released in my birth month.
Again, with the birth month over here, I tell you. But you can check that out. In addition, we're also on Facebook, so if you want to ask us questions or suggest things for us to cover coming up or things that you're just interested in, you can hit us up at facebook.com/landofesh and share that stuff with us. You can also follow us all on Twitter, and the entire team that makes up the Land of Esh is really kind of huge. So if you want to see them all, simply visit my page, twitter.com/ninjasista, and check out the Land of Esh list. Everybody on there is definitely Panda and Ninja approved. Ting, ting.
I have a stamp.
Why didn't I get a stamp?
Because I went to a fucking customizational place and said, I want a giant P in a little floral. And then in etching it says Panda approved in it.
Why well, a stamp now?
Oh, damn. I love my stamp. I take it everywhere. I
put that on my task list. So there you have it. You can get us on Twitter. You can get us on Facebook. You can get us on our website. You can get us at us via email. There's pretty much no way that you can't get at us. Pretty much.
So you get at especially us now. Yeah. Definitely. Yeah.
Okay. So with that said, shit that we're digging this week, Panda.
Oh, God.
Since it's your birth month, why don't you go first?
Sure. Should I dig this week? I'm totally gonna change it on you guys, and it's Escaflowne the movie.
You're such a punk! That is not what you were gonna say, but because you can't say the name in English and you don't know the Japanese name, you won't say it.
That's right.
You are such a punk.
But I like the movie, though. I got the collector edition of the Escaflowne movie that came with the original release, the soundtrack, and also some bonus features with some of the voice actors and stuff, too. Which is absolutely amazing, and you should get it if you don't have it.
Okay, all right.
What's the shit you dig this week?
I'm actually gonna dig the thing that you actually dig but won't say. I like the anime series Astronaut's Toy. I think that it is really, really adorable. It's streaming right now on Crunchyroll, so check it out. You can view it for free, or if you've got a paid account, you can see all the current episodes. I highly recommend it. Sure. There's nakedness, sure. There's all kinds of suggested dialogue. And if you have any problems with definite pedophilia that's just trying really hard not to be, it's not the one for you. But it's funny. So I dig it. Astrolux Toy, Crunchyroll, get it. All right, so that's it. That's our show. I hope you enjoyed it. I know we did. We had fun making it. So as always, I'm Ninja Sista.
And I'm the only Pandalicious.
Oh my God. And we're out of here, people.
Enjoy my birth month.
But I'm going to try to keep it short, too, because I like to get the whole thing into the show. And you guys are very, very clip happy once we get some good stuff in the beginning of the show. So I got to be careful.
Yes, be mindful.
We have
of that.
Clip shows. We have so much stuff.
All my anime reviews vanished into the cutting room floor, so I gotta be cautious.
I don't think it was a matter. I don't think it was a matter of us going, oh, let's just clip that. I think our show just ran long.
Yeah, we tend to do that.
Show runs long, so you know if a show runs long, you gotta clip it. I know how it goes.
Yeah,
but you always come back.
Yes, you always make it into the highlight reels. Some people don't make it into the highlight reels.
Yeah,
they get pissed at us. I say fuck them.